Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you a hearty welcome to the ministry of His precious and of His holy word. It is a great joy, but it is also a solemn and sacred privilege to come before you with the message of the Word of God. Our theme has been the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We remind our hearts again of the words of the beloved Apostle Paul as he wrote them in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, where we are exhorted to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We raise the question very earnestly, friend. Are you looking for the Lord to come? Nay, we raise it in another manner. Are you ready for the Lord to come? We've seen the joy of learning from the Scriptures the reality of His coming again. Blessed reality. It is a certainty. We've had the privilege in our preceding message to consider the rapidity of His coming. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. My beloved, may I remind your heart and conscience as well as mine own, the rapidity of His coming. It will take place suddenly. He said, behold, I come quickly, 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 quickly. My beloved, let me say in a flash, the event will take place where the dead in Christ, not all the dead, but the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In a moment, in a moment. My beloved, I don't know the moment. I cannot tell you the day. I cannot tell you the hour. But all I know is this. The rapidity of it is such that if you're not saved, you ought to get saved right now and seek the Lord while He may be found and be ready for the coming of the Lord. Your sins forgiven. And then, if you're a saint, may God help you and me who belong to Him. Let us indeed live for Him. Now we would like to consider today our responsibility toward the coming of the Lord. Our responsibility toward the coming of the Lord. We've touched upon His reality. We've touched upon His rapidity. Now we would emphasize our responsibility. I would like to address words, first of all, to my fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Often we must be very careful. Even you and I who are believers, we should be ready. I do not mean that we should get saved. Once saved, thank God you're ready to meet the Lord in the air. You have no doubt of being there if you're saved. For may I point out the words that Paul said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And Paul assured the believers at Thessalonica, you meet your loved ones who died in the Lord because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So my beloved friend, may I emphasize again, the only ground, the true ground, the solid ground of being in that wonderful event of the rapture, as it is sometimes called, is to make sure you believe in the Lord Jesus. And so my beloved believer, rest upon that fact. Having believed, you've got the promise of God and the Savior. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But now, my fellow believer, let's look at it in some other aspect. Though we may be ready in soul and saved by His grace, how are we living? If the Lord would come today, would you be happy to find Him, to be found doing what you may be doing? Would you believe that He would rejoice to see what you are? In other words, are you spiritually ready to meet Him? By that I mean, look, what is the responsibility of a believer? Let me quote you the words that turn you to the words that Paul wrote writing to Titus in chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul reminded them before he told them to be looking for that blessed hope. They should be living godly. They should be living godly. Ah, yes, it is even the beloved Apostle Peter, who writes in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, in view of that great coming of our Lord Jesus Christ again, and all the events that will follow. What manner of persons ought ye not to be in all godliness and conversation, all living? Now, my beloved Christian, please let me say to you, let me say to my own heart, the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ should make me live godly. Let me quote the words of the third chapter of 1 John, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And let every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. My beloved Christian, this blessed hope that is yours and mine is to be a purifying one, to help you and me live to please the Lord. God grant that it will do that. So not only be godly, may I be reminded with you from even the writings of James, in chapter 5 and verse 8, be ye patient, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I'm very well acquainted with the fact we have many trials, we have many sorrows, we have many testings that we go through. And in the writing of James, in that epistle, in that particular chapter, he writes particularly of the afflictions that the godly, that the poor, suffered at the hand of the fabulous and the rich, who showed no mercy or kindness to them. And he begs them, now don't try to straighten things out. And many are trying to straighten things out in the world. And may I tell you very bluntly, nobody will be able to straighten out this whole world. Only the Lord Jesus, when he comes. But James says, look, brethren, no, though you're suffering, though you're not treated right, be patient, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The judge stands at the door. Be patient. And am I speaking to some dear believer that needs to be patient? Oh, that we may learn that blessed lesson of enduring patiently the trials and the testings of life. Be patient. Yes, be godly and be patient, but then also, I quote the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, the last verse, where the apostle says, and thank God for that blessed hope, and how he reminds us of that coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that will be our deliverance from all that we may be in at the present time. But let me particularly point out to you the words of the apostle in that closing verse of chapter 15. And note the words of encouragement in view of the coming of the Lord and in reference to the coming and even the resurrection of saints. And now the apostle closes the chapter by saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. He says, be steadfast. What does he mean? Stand up and stand faithful to the truth of God. Don't let anyone move you from the truth of God's word. How we need that today. And then may I finish the verse by saying, if Paul writes on, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, not only be steadfast, but be zealous, abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me just close this little particular reference to the saved and to the people of God. In view of his coming, we should be godly. We should be patient. In view of his coming, we should be steadfast, standing fast to the truth of God. And fourth, we should be zealous, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me just conclude it with that. To realize as believers, our responsibility toward his coming. First, be godly. Second, be patient. Third, be steadfast. Fourth, be zealous. And perhaps there are many other things we could also state. But now let's particularly speak to my unsaved friends. Oh, my beloved unsaved friends, what's your responsibility toward the coming of the Lord? Let me say again, no apology for the repetition of the words. The Lord Jesus said, be ye also ready, for in an hour that ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Watch therefore. Now we raise the question. My unsaved friend, are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, may we repeat. How can you be ready? May I very plainly, lovingly and earnestly say, if the Lord were to come within the next few moments, would you go to meet him? Or would you be left behind? How can you be one of those that meets him in the air? Let me again remind you of the words of Paul as he introduced that scripture. Be not ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For, now here's the condition, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What's the assurance of meeting the Lord in the air, whether you're in the grave or whether you're alive, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again? You say, what's that? That is the gospel. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 15, declared, as he declared the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel that he says, whereby you are saved, if you believed it. Now, my friend, I'm saved. Have you believed the gospel? Have you by faith said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I acknowledge you're the only Savior. You died to save me on the cross. I believe it. It's your word that tells it. And you did it for me. And you say, will I take you as my Savior? Lord Jesus, thou hast said, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. My friend, if you will take the Lord Jesus as your Savior even now, you will be saved. Father, bless thy word and save some dear sinner now. In Jesus' name, amen.